is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm preaching today from verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to preach on the subject today in the form of an allegory. It's an allegory, a soliloquy, this subject, goodness and mercy. What that means is I'm going to tell a story based on Scripture, but it gives me the license to create not doctrinal truths, but characters that express doctrinal truths. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I stumbled into the house of God with sin and brokenness in my life. I was so overwhelmed with my sorrows and struggles and sins that I had become very myopic. It had been a long time since I had seen the big picture, or what really matters in life. But when I came to the house of the Lord, and the people were kind and said and treated me, said kind things to me and treated me with respect, my heart was touched, and I received what the preacher had preached. And I remember coming forward to receive the Lord, but I got much more than just a formal conversion. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces, and I wept buckets, it seems like, of tears. And after a while, I was encouraged to do something that I was not used to doing. And that was to raise my hands and to say, I love you, Jesus, and I worship you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for forgiving me of my sins. In that vortex of created atmosphere, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you that I knew a lot about it when I first received the Holy Ghost, but it sure did feel good. I felt like I was 1,000 pounds lighter. And as one lady said to me after she received the Holy Ghost many years ago, I said, you're glowing. And she said, I know, because I just ate light. That's a good one. And so I started to attend the little Pentecostal church, and in that effort, because I was putting forth an effort, I was praying one day, and then I entered into the kingdom of God. I had a most poignant and realistic vision that has impacted my life from the day I had it. I was praying, but all of a sudden I was walking in massive doors, tall doors, thick doors, and it opened into a big, big room. In the distance, I saw Jesus sitting upon the throne. And even though he was but a dot in the distance, I could see him plainly, especially his eyes, and they were looking at me. I started forward down the long, long aisle, and there was a lot of things there. I glanced to the right and I glanced to the left, and I saw angels as tall and as big as redwood trees. They were massive and gigantic. Then I saw in the bleachers on the sidelines people that I knew had died in the faith and were right with God. They were there as a cloud of witnesses. Today was not their day. Today it was my turn. And I walked down that aisle. It was hushed in the throne room of God. And when I got to the bottom of his throne, I fell to my knees, weeping, asking God to forgive me all over again. And I felt so unworthy. But the Lord came down off of that throne and laid his hands upon me and spoke to me kindly and gently. You don't have to repent anymore over those things. That is now under my blood. And I love you, and I am calling you on purpose my son. You are no longer lost. You are no longer estranged. You are a part of my family. I couldn't stop crying, and it seemed like it was a while before I was able to gather myself. There was people that had come and gathered around me and pulled me back up to my feet. And as I was trying to get my composure, from a side door, in a moment of silence, I think Jesus was going to say something more to me, but in a moment of silence, a side door kind of burst open, and come into that, everybody turned to look at that door, and coming in to that door was two little girls, around 9 or 10. There's children, but not babies, but not adults. Not teenagers. One of them, she had black hair, and she had alabaster skin, and she had startling green eyes, and she was beautiful. And behind her, there was a little girl with blonde hair and warm brown eyes and golden skin. They were very different, but they fit together. I could tell they was family. I could tell they belonged together. And they just come in like they just owned the whole joint. And here was God and his angels and the saints. And it was a formal convocation or whatever, how you say that word. And these little girls come in and they just sashay right up to the throne, and they walk right by me, and I'm watching them. They walk right by me. They climb right up, and they both just climbed up and sat in the lap of the Lord. And then one got squirmy and then stood on the side, and they were giggling and laughing, and finally they looked around, and they looked at the Lord, and they looked at me, and they said, "Who's this?" And the Lord said, "He's my son now." "Oh, well, what's his name?" And they said, "His name is Nathan." "Oh," and they looked at me and they waved their hands and they smiled real big. And the Lord said to me, he said, "These are my girls. They're part of my family." He said, "The little blonde girl, her name is Goodness. And the little green-eyed darling here, she's my daughter, and her name is Mercy. And I was entranced by them. They were so beautiful and so pure and so captivating. They came off of the lap of the Lord and just hopped down the steps and looked at me, and both of them took me by hand each, and they smiled up and they said, "We're going to be friends. In fact, Dad said that you're his son. Well, we're his daughters. So we're family now. We're going to be good friends." And I don't know exactly how all that worked, but I left. And I saw somebody else coming in, but it was Mercy and goodness who took me by the hand and led me out and went to my house. And they were there chattering and talking and laughing. And it seemed like they could read my mind, because I would have a thought, man, this is too good to be true. I mean, who lets their girls go with the guy that they really don't know? And they looked at me like I had said that out loud, and they said, "Oh, Dad knows everything about you. You're okay. You're not going to harm us, because the Lord has saved you, and you're a different person." And as I thought, I hope I'm a different person. I hope I can live up to their expectations. They said, "Oh, if you need help, we're going to help you. We know the ropes, and we have Dad wrapped around our little finger. We can get anything from Dad. And Dad wants us to be with you." And thus began a life that I never could have dreamed that I would have. Gone was my loneliness. Gone was my depression. Gone was my isolation. People called me and said, "Why don't you come to the bar anymore? And why don't you come to the parties anymore?" It's hard for me to explain that I wasn't lonely, that I wasn't avoiding being with people, but I had another people. I had another family. And I had seen the glory of God for myself. I never walked into the church again and just saw people worshiping the Lord and going through the motions of religious exercise. I had caught a glimpse of the kingdom that is behind the church, and it altered my perspective forever on the matter. I'm just wondering if I'm preaching to somebody here today who has not yet seen the kingdom that exists invisibly behind the visible church. For we are living in the realm of Christ. We are headed toward the reign of Christ. But the realm of Christ in this world is invisible and can only be seen through the eyes of faith. If you ever see the God behind the cross or the manger or the feeding of the 5,000, or the healing of the sick and the halt and the blind and the maimed, you will never be tempted ever again to doubt its existence. But my constant reminder of God was his girls. Surely, goodness and mercy. They went everywhere with me. They taught me how to live for God. When I made a mistake, goodness said, "It's okay, because I'm here, and it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us to repentance." Let me tell you how good God is. And Mercy would say, but wait, I know what mercy is. It's my name. He'll forgive you. He will not hold a grudge against you. And when I would stumble and when I would fall, I needed no assistance from the angels that I saw in his throne room, because even though they were small and delicate, when it come to helping me get back up on my feet, it was goodness and it was mercy that helped me to stand again and try and venture forth in this odyssey. I never met any situation that the girls didn't know how to deal with. And I got confident, and I got my faith was strong, and I started to make right decisions. And that was different, because I hadn't made right decisions. I had made costly decisions. I had made decisions that cost me things. But now I'm not making costly decisions. I'm making right decisions. Oh, yes. And when you make a right decision, and then you make another right decision, and then you make another right decision, they build on one another. You see progress almost instantly, and then there's a crossroads, and there's a chance to go this way and make a wrong decision. But by faith and by determination, you make another right decision, and all of a sudden, here comes the blessings of God. Here comes the peace of heart and the peace of mind, the tranquility of spirit. No, I'm not perfect, but I got goodness and I got mercy in my life. And I ventured into the kingdom of God and started being blessed, not because of who I am, but because of who my father is and who my family is. And I began to appreciate the other faithful saints in the local congregation where I assembled to worship. And I began to love the preacher, because I realized they are there on the journey with me. And it's not just about being a Pentecostal. And it's not just about being an apostolic. It's about going to heaven. It's about transitioning from this world to the next world, right with God forever, and entering into the joy of the Lord forever. Does anybody want to raise your hands and say, I want to go? I want to go. Help me to see it. Those were the best years, the best time, the best of my life. And then, after the journey, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the preacher. I don't know if it was somebody in the church. I can't even remember why, but I got offended. I got offended. I should have realized that there's no perfect church. I should have realized that there's no perfect preacher. I mean, this one's pretty perfect, but he's still a human. And so he still has moods, and he still has emotions, and he still has, you know, he's a man. He's a devout man. He's a godly man. But there's no perfect preacher. But somebody said something, and before I could wash it out of my spirit and keep, listen, this is what you got to do. You got to keep your focus on the end game. This is not the end of the matter. The end of the matter is in heaven. Whatever we have to go through here will be worth it all there. Whatever persecution, whatever discipline, I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost. Whatever. And we're told God did not sell us a bill of goods and say, if you'll live for me, you'll never suffer again. You'll never be persecuted again. You just, it's going to be a bed of roses without thorns. He never said that. He said, in this world, you shall have persecutions. Take up your cross and follow after me. It is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of fighting the will of the flesh. There are times of sorrow and there's times of death. But I made up my mind. At least I thought I had made up my mind. I can make it because goodness and mercy, they're my family. And they're going to help me get through the tough times. They will always bring me home to my Father. They are sisters I can count on. They are sisters that I can believe in. And I had weathered some storms, and I had weathered some persecution, and I had weathered stuff, life. Life, just sometimes life is hard. It's not always good. It's not always happy. You go through loss. You go through sickness. You go through divorce. You go through your kids changing. What happened to my good kids? They're just idiots now. You know. What happened to my husband? I used to like him. I can't stand him. I'm thinking about poisoning his coffee. Can't do that. I'll go to prison for murder. But these thoughts are in your mind. It's like, what? I've lost the essence. I've lost the juice. You know, it's just called living. Just living. And I got offended. And the Bible said offense must come. It did say woe unto him by who offends. But when you offend somebody, you're just an instrument God's using. You think you can say what you want to say and do what you want to do and get away with it, you ain't nothing but a patsy. Offenses must come, but woe unto him by whom offense comes. Somehow a dart struck me. Somehow behind my shield of faith, I must have let it down. I must have not been. And I was pierced with a fiery dart, and it poisoned me. I regressed. I stopped praying. I started blaming. I started justifying my bad attitude and looking, my vision about the church, it started to dim. It started to get fuzzy. I wasn't so sure after all. And goodness and mercy, they noticed, and they would talk to me. They'd say, no, you have to forgive those that trespass against you. You forgive. But they hurt me. This one, it made it past my defenses. I thought I was over that. I thought I was better than that. But Jesus can help you. Dad can help. Just ask the Lord to help you. Come on, let's go see Dad. I was embarrassed, you know. I was embarrassed. I had now officially failed God. I hadn't prayed like I should. I hadn't given like I should. I hadn't gone to church like I should. And I stayed home and I noticed there were little things around my ankles, little black things. They looked like little gerbils or something. And they would, I'd walk around and they'd follow after me. And I would look at them and they would look at me and hiss. Had sharp teeth. And I said, go. And then they grew. Every day they got bigger. And now they were like a dog. And then there was another one. It was weird. It started out with just like one little thing. And then they got bigger. And they followed me everywhere I went. And goodness and mercy would come. And they'd knock on my door. And I would go over to the door and I'd look out the peephole. That's goodness and mercy. And these dogs, they're like wolves now. They'd go. And I was like, goodness, you can't come in. You can't come in. And they'd say, but why can't we come in? We're your sisters. We belong together. We're family. I said, well, I got somebody here. And they went, hurr. Said, you can't come in. And it's like they were growing as I looked at them. And they had fangs and yellow eyes and they were mangy black, and the scruff of their neck would stand up. And I would say, go away. And they would growl at me like, no. And I would say, who are you? How did you get here? And they said, you let us in. And goodness and mercy were not. Goodness and mercy were not. Nathan, are there wolves in there? Do we hear barking? Do we hear growling? We can help you. I said, I don't think you can. I think there's a problem here. I need to get these guys out of my heart. I need to get these things out of my life. I can't have goodness and mercy and wolves and dogs. They don't mix. You got to choose who you let in. What's going to grow in your life? Love or resentment? Forgiveness or bitterness? I smell dogs. Now I know why I'm preaching this. In this place, who plays the guitar? I saw Sunday you coming up with your guitar on your back and your wife at your side and walking right beside you, and on the other side of your wife was goodness. And the Lord spoke to me as I saw you out the window. He said, he doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to use him mightily in my kingdom. And goodness and mercy are walking with you every day. And when marriage gets difficult and you don't like your husband, and you're aggravated at your wife, listen to goodness and mercy. Because the wolves of divorce and anger and fight are just on the outside. one day. I didn't know what else I could do. Now, they jostled me. They pushed me around. They took over my house. They took over my mind. They got in my bed with me. They stunk. They were beast. I couldn't get away from them. Big, like giant wolves. And there was a lot of them. That's the thing about it. It never stays like a mouse. Never stays like a little bunny. Ooh, I hear them right now. I'm calling to some of you. You got dogs in your life. Dogs of anger. Anger. You got to let it go. You got to say, oh, mercy. I need mercy. I need the mercy of God. I need the goodness of God to lead me to, let me feel the hand of mercy. Take me to my Father. I'm wounded. I'm preoccupied, but I'm willing. I want to get right. I want to get it prayed through. I want to get back on track. I got to get these wolves out. And one day it reached critical mass. Goodness and mercy came calling. They never quit coming. They never. And I opened the door. I opened the door and these demons were bigger than they were. They were bigger than mercy and goodness. But I finally opened the door. I finally opened the door. And they just walked right in. And even though they're just about that tall, they walked in like they were in control. And their eyes lit. And they looked at the demons that were in my house. Like, oh no. You are not taking our brother. We will fight you. And I watched that tab view, that scene, goodness and mercy standing in the door, and the pack of wolves growling deep in their throat. And I'm kind of like in the middle. And goodness and mercy reach up. And they said, Nathan, you got to quit playing games. You got to make a decision. This can't stay like this. It's got to fall one way or another. I don't know why I did. I don't know why I did it, but I got offended again. I looked at them and I said, don't tell me what to do. You don't know how I feel in my heart. You don't know what's going on inside of me. And goodness and mercy stepped back. And for the first time, I saw that they were frightened. And I was trying to figure that out. And I thought, they're not frightened of these demons, but they're frightened of me. And I don't know why I did it, but I took another step, and I spoke hatefully to them, and I spoke ugly to them. And when I did, those demons, they went, they just stepped right up with me, and they're on either side of me. And I said, I want to tell you something. I lived a long time before I ever met you girls. And I know Jesus said you're my sisters, but I don't feel like it works anymore. And I don't know why I did it, but I took my hand and I slapped mercy in the face. And I backhanded goodness and they fell to the ground. And when I did that, those demons leaped over my shoulders and covered up goodness and covered up mercy and were tearing and ripping and devouring them. And I'm saying, no. And all of a sudden the door exploded inward and angels came in and they started throwing those black wolves out and they threw them out and they went over to where goodness and mercy lay bleeding. Oh God. And they looked at me and they said, "You forgot who they were." I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't think it was that." And they picked them up in their arms and walked my mercy and my goodness, walked out the door. And in the distance, I heard it thunder. And one angel said to another, "Father is on his way." To see Father without goodness and mercy. I am warning somebody, and I wish God would show me who it was, because I would come back there now, and I would lay hands on you whether you wanted it to happen or not. You are fooling around with the assassination of goodness and mercy. They love you. God loves you. That man up there loves you. We are the visible representation of the invisible Christ. I don't know who you are. God's not even let me see balloons float today. It's just blank. So be it. I'm warning you. It's bigger than this church. It's bigger than your offense. I didn't want to preach this, but God told me to. Anybody feel like you might want to come and pray? Anybody? I know if I was out there, I'd come up here and say, "Oh, don't let go of my hands. Goodness and mercy, sweet darlings. Oh, sweet darlings. Don't ever let go of my hands. Don't ever let go of me. Lead me back to Jesus. Lead me back to the altar. Help me to pray it back through. Help me to get it out of my heart. I bind devils that are like little black rabbits in my life, right? I bind these evil spirits. I ask goodness and mercy to help me and the love of God to help me today. I can't play games no more. I can't just go through the motions. The preacher has warned me. Let goodness and mercy help me. Let goodness and mercy give me strength to forgive those that have said bad things about me, done bad things to me. Oh, God. I need some prayer warriors to lean into this. I need you to lean into this prayer meeting. Let the gifts of the Spirit, let the gifts of the Spirit operate. Prophesy. Somebody help me. Somebody lay hands on me. Oh, I've come too far. I've come too far to turn back now. I fought too hard to lose this war. Somebody help me pray.
In the name of Jesus.
I wouldn't stop praying until I made sure, until I knew without a shadow of a doubt. I had mercy in one hand and goodness in another, and Jesus in my heart. Oh, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me now. Fill me now. Renew me now, God. Strengthen me, God. Strengthen me. Give me a wolf-killing spirit. Give me a demon-rebuking power. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, somebody's breaking through. Somebody's breaking through. Come on, oh, saint of God. Groan in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we're going to intercede for our children and our families. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.